Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks. Thank you. You can be seated. God bless you. Thanks. Thank you. Be seated. Be seated. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. Hey, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. What a blessing to be here today. I'm happy to be here at Howells Anderson College. I was just thinking about, while we were doing the congregation singing, I was just thinking about the influence in America and even the whole world that this place, how it's affected it. It's just unbelievable. And then thinking about, as I look out over this crowd, that what God's going to do with the people that's in this room in our future. Our country, you know, it's in trouble. But when I look in here today, I'm encouraged. I look at this congregation of decent, clean-looking young people that love God and excited. My heart's warmed and encouraged. Thank God for you, for what you're doing. And thank God for this place. Though I did not attend classes here, I was never a student at Howells Anderson. But it's had such an impact, Dr. Howells, and this place, First Baptist Church, Howells Anderson College through the years, staff members, its influence. You have no way of knowing how much it's impacted me to keep me going. Thank God for you. And I appreciate you very much. And I enjoyed that quartet. That's good. Amen? That's good. Look in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis. And I thank God for your pastor, Brother Wilkerson. What a great man. Thank God for him. You know, I get convicted when I'm around him. He's such a kind, sweet, gentle man, but yet strong too. I want to be like he is. I really do. And what a good pastor you have, good preacher. Look at Genesis chapter 5, and I'm gonna give you a little thought here today, maybe that'll encourage you a little bit. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, let me remind you of something, that Enoch is a type of the church in that he was raptured out. That's exactly what happened here. It's like the second coming of the Lord raptured him out. The Bible said he was not, and God took him. And then, if you read over another chapter or two, you got Noah, and Noah was a type of the nation of Israel and the Jews that'll go through some tribulation, but yet will be delivered. God delivered Noah and his family. But Enoch, a type of the church. Now it says this, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Verse 23, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were and 69 years, and he died. Now, I'm going to pray, and I want to preach to you today on this thought. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? The Bible said that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. But the Bible does not say Methuselah walked with God. He lived 969 years, but doesn't say anything about him walking with God. But it does about his dad. And the thought today is this: who are you walking with? Now, I want to pray, and then I'm going to preach to you. Father, I thank you for this great college. And Lord, for what the impact it's had on our country and on even the world. Lord, and I thank you for the people that's in this room today. And Lord, what you're going to do with them. Bless each young man and each young woman in this place. Keep your hands upon it and bless them and use them, God, in a mighty way. Bless this staff. God, thank you for this place. Meet the needs here. And God, may you anoint it and use it in the future, even to train many thousands in years to come. In Christ's name, amen. Preaching to you on this thing about who are you walking with. Notice the Bible said, and Enoch, he lived 65 years, and it doesn't say anything about him walking with God for 65 years. And that's my age. Now, he may have. I don't know. Doesn't really say. He may have walked with God in those 65 years, but doesn't say that he did. But then Methuselah was born, and after that, he walked with God for 300 years. And you know, that's something to think about, that when a person has children, brother, it's dead sure time to walk with God, but I've got news for you. It's time to walk with God in your youth. It's time to walk with God if you're saved, not just to be saved and that's it. A lot of people are saved, and they're going to heaven if they die. And like they sing about, walk on streets of gold, they're saved, and they're going to heaven. But they don't know anything about really knowing God and walking with God. But Enoch did. He walked with God for 300 years, and one day God took him home. The Bible said, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the next thing is that Methuselah lived 969 years, but he didn't walk with God. You said, but he had to. No, doesn't say that he did. You said, well, what did he do? That's a good question. He lived to be old, but that's it, as far as I know. He fathered some children. I don't know another thing he done. Now, let me tell you, God don't just put you here to just be here. God put you here for a purpose and for a reason. And God put Enoch here to walk with God. Now, Enoch walked with God, but Methuselah walked with Enoch. And when Enoch was gone, we don't have any record of Methuselah doing anything. So it matters who you're walking with. Now, it's good that you've got people in your life. Maybe your mother and dad. Maybe your pastor. These staff members. Others that you know. Maybe a good friend that walks with God. But that's not enough. You need to walk with God. See, you need to walk with God. You need to know God yourself and have a relationship with the Lord yourself. See, there's a danger of having somebody to walk with God for you. Matter of fact, it's not even possible for somebody to walk with God for you. They may love you and take you to God in prayer and pray over you and love you, but that's still not you walking with God. Now, Enoch walked with God, but Methuselah didn't walk with God. I want to show you another picture of this. Turn over, if you would, and I'm going to use some scripture here, so you'll just need to leave your Bible right here for a little bit. And I want to show you a better picture of it, actually. is Abraham. I want to show you a picture of Abraham. Now, it says here in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now, God said, "I'm going to show you where to go, but you leave here." And he said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, God said, "I'm going to bless you, but you're going to be a blessing." You know, there used to be an old song we sung a lot where I got saved called, "Make me a channel of blessings today. Make me a channel of blessings, I pray." What a good song. That's what we ought to be, a channel of blessings. We're a blessing to others. And I want to be that. Now, let me tell you something that God told Abraham. He said, "I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you." And he said, and you're going to be a blessing. Now look what else he said in verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." I want you to look up here a minute. I want to tell you something that why I believe America is still in existence. Now this is not what I'm preaching on, but I will just stop and hesitate here. Two reasons that I believe America is still in existence. And you remember this for the future. Number one, I believe America is still here because we have been a friend to the nation of Israel. We've been a friend to Israel. You know, I'm not smart enough to be the president of the United States. I'm not smart enough to do that. But I am smarter than some of them that's running, I'll tell you that for sure. But I'm not smart enough to be the president. But I'll tell you what I am smart enough to do is if I were the president, one of the things on the top of my list would be I'm going to be a friend to the nation of Israel. If I got elected today, I'd be calling up their president tomorrow asking them, "What do you need over there? Is there something I can do to be a blessing to your nation?" Because there's a promise from God that God's going to bless people that blesses the nation of Israel. Okay, the second reason I believe America is still in existence is because of what we have done for missions. What we're doing for missions, God has used us. And America, for many, many years, has sent missionaries all over the world to reach the rest of the world. Now, I hate to say this, but we're probably not the number one nation now sending them. I'm not sure who is. I'd be surprised if we were, because I don't see a lot of people surrendering to go. At least not in my meetings, they're not. And I preach a lot of meetings, but I don't see them surrendering to go. And I hope that there's many of you that are going to go. I hope you do, and God will use you. But the Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I believe two reasons why America is still in existence. We've been a friend to the nation of Israel. And for what we're doing in soul winning and missions, what we're doing for missions, if we ever stop it, if churches let up on this thing of trying to reach the world, I mean, it starts at home. But then we're to branch out. Jesus said to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth and reach people. Now, as long as we're doing that, we can have the blessings of God on us. When we stop that, the blessings stop. But he told Abraham, I'll make you a blessing, you're going to be a blessing, and I'll bless those that bless you and curse them that curse you. Now, let me move on. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Pay attention to that. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Unto the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, under the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, said unto thy seed, will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Do you see that? Abraham, here's what he did. When he got where he was going, where God told him to go, he built an altar. Do you see that? He built an altar unto the Lord. Look at it in verse number 7. He built an altar. You say, well, what was that for? To walk with God, to worship God, and to pray to God, and to hear from God. That's why he built that altar. That's exactly why he had an altar. He built an altar. And I want to show you something else. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Do you see that? Verse 8. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar. He built a second altar. Look at that. Unto the Lord. Look at this. And it shows what he did with the altar. And he called on the name of the Lord. You see that? In verse 8. And he called on the name of the Lord. Now I want to show you something. Verse 9. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now let me tell you something. If you're not careful in your life, there's going to come times of famine. There's going to be hard times. And you'll even have them while you're in school here. There may be financial hard times. Might be something happened back in your home church, or something happened in your family that is a type of this famine. Something happened that caused you to have some grief and broken heart or hard times. Now, the best thing you can do is this, is don't go back to Egypt over it. You say, what do? Linger around that altar. Stay in the place. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Abraham was a great man, but he wasn't perfect. And I'm going to show it to you. What he should have done, I personally believe he is out of God's will totally right here, what I'm getting ready to show you. As good a man as he was, he missed God right here. And I'll prove it. I'm going to prove it to you that Abraham missed God. You say, how do you know? Because of the direction. Look what he did. And the Bible said in verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went, which way did he go? Down. Do you see that? He went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now look at verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians see thee, they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me, but they'll save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and for my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Now I'm sure what happened. Famine came. They went down towards Egypt. It's never right to go to Egypt. Egypt's never the right direction. Say, what is it? Type of the world. It's never where you need to go. So he's headed down away from his altar. Well, what happens when he gets away from his altar? They get away from the altar, and they get down near Egypt, and he looks at his wife, and he said, Sarah, you're a beautiful woman, and we're getting ready to go into Egypt. And he said, when they see you, they're going to take you from me, and they'll kill me. So here's the plan. You tell them you're my sister, and that way it'll be good for my sake. Well, what was he doing? That's what you call lying. Now you say, well, why did that happen? He went the wrong direction away from his altar. You'd be shocked. When you get away from your altar of prayer and get out of that book, you'd be surprised what will creep into your life. And you'd be surprised how it changes your thinking. See? Now here's a man that God had just told him he's going to bless him and make him a great nation and all he's going to do for him. And Abraham builds two altars, places of prayer at Bethel, which meant house of God. He had a house of God. He had a place of God where he met God, called on the Lord. But a famine comes, so he moved, but he went the wrong way. Should have went to the altar and said, Lord, Are you still going to take care of me? God, will you supply my needs? Lord, give me your blessings. You said you would. And God, no doubt, would have took care of Abraham here. But he went the wrong way, and he goes down into Egypt. And sure enough, when they get down there, look at this. The verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her, talking about Sarah, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh in his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, Pharaoh thought he was getting Abraham's sister, and so he gives him cattle and donkeys and camels and horses and all of it, and cowboys to go with him, men servants and maid servants, and gives him gold and silver and gives him all these things, and entreated him well. In other words, what that means is he made him rich. And I'll show you in a minute. And look at this, verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me she was thy sister? Not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now, let me show you something here. God was still merciful to Abraham, because he could have lost his life right here. Pharaoh could have called his soldiers in. They would have killed him. But he charged his men, said, "Don't do anything with it. Just let him get out of here." Now, Abraham had enough sense to know, man, that was close. That was close right here. And so look what he does. I want to show you something. Verse 1 of chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt. Now he's headed the right direction. He's going up out. See? He and his wife, look at this, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now they're going back. They're going back the right direction. He took his wife and Lot. And look at verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and in gold. Looks like everything worked out, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like, boy, it's all good now? He got out of there. There was no damage done. He got his wife. Is all right. Nothing done there. And he gets all this silver and all this gold and cattle and horses, men servants, maid servants, and now him and his wife and all these people and Lot, his nephew, is going with him, and they're going back. And he went on his journeys from the south. Look, where did he go? Look at it. He went unto to Bethel. See it? Verse 3. Unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. Look at this. Verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. You know what? In the book of Revelations chapter 2, God told that church of Ephesus, you're a fundamental church, but you're a fallen church. What had they done? They left their first love. They went away from God. And God told that church, remember and repent and return and rework what you used to do when you loved me. Same thing happened here. Abraham went back where his altar was at the first. Do you see that? He went back. Now, so it looks like everything's okay. Unto the place, verse 4, of the altar which he made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Guess what? He saw how gracious God was, and he went back to Bethel, back to the house of God, back to prayer, back to fellowship with God. Thank God that Abram did this. And let me tell you why he did it. He had an altar before he left. And he remembered his altar, and he remembered that sweet fellowship, and he remembered that time with God. And now, so he goes back. Now I want to show you something real quick. My time is slipping away. And Lot also, which went with Abram. Remember I told you to watch that? Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Well, where did Lot, his nephew, get all that? He got it from his uncle. His uncle come back, and he had so much livestock and so much silver and gold and had so much land and had so much of everything, he just cut out Lot and said, Lot, you take this. Well, here's what happened. They had so much, now you imagine this, that the land was not able to bear them. There wasn't enough grazing as far as you could see in every direction. There was not enough land to take care of all that these men had. They were so rich. So here's what happens. Verse 7 says, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife. You know why it was Abraham that said, let there be no strife? He had an altar. See, people that's got an altar don't want strife. It wasn't Lot that said, let's not have strife. You give me all this. It wasn't him. It was Abram that that had the altar. People that's got to walk with God don't want to fight with other people. You see what I'm saying? So he said, let there be no strife. He said, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou will take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And another thing he said, you go, you take what you want, and I'll take what's left. That there again is a sign of a man that had an altar. We don't see Lot doing that. Now I'm going to show you what Lot did. Look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Look, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Did you pay attention to verse 10? Lot took the place that looked like the land of Egypt. Well, how did he know what Egypt was like? Because when Abraham lost his altar, he introduced Lot to Egypt. See, that's why mothers and dads need to stay plugged in. You can't drift. See, you may make it if you got an altar, but the people with you won't. Because you're walking with God. You know what it is to have an altar, but the kids don't. See, they're running off of you. And that's why it's important. You get your own altar. You have your own prayer time with God. You have your time. You're in the Bible. You can't run off of Brother Mitchell's Bible reading. You can't run off of these other men's devotions. You can't run off of Brother Wilkerson's prayer life. You can't run off of mother and dad back at home praying for you. You can't run off of that. It's good that others are praying for you and love you. But friend, that's not good enough. You see, Abraham had an altar at Bethel where he prayed and he spent time with God. But Lot, we never see where he had an altar. You know why Lot shipwrecked everything he had? He was saved. He was saved. Now, there's not much. It looks like he was, but he was. You say, how do you know? The book of Peter calls him just Lot. Now, he done some things so horrible, you'd have to say, wonder if he really was. Yes, he was. But he lost everything he had, including his riches, his family. He lost everything. You say, why? Because he was walking with Abraham while Abraham walked with God. But let me tell you something. Lot got into deep trouble when Abraham lost his heart. You see, folks, you can't afford to leave it. I don't like to get up early. I don't like to just get up super early in the morning. I don't like to get up super early. But if I'm going to find my altar and find God, I've got to. Are you following me? See, this morning when that alarm clock gone off this morning, man, live, you say, man, it's middle of the night. But it's time to meet God. see, I can't afford it. I got too much riding on this. And by the way, you do too. And Lot destroyed his life. Look, it's good to have heroes, but your hero's walk with God ain't going to make it for you. See, I remember where I was at when I got the telephone call from Bill Burr. I remember getting a telephone call from Bill Burr. I remember where I was at within a few feet of driving my car when he called and said, Dr. Howells went to heaven. I pulled off the road over there in a wide place in the road and sat beside the road when he told me Brother Howells was gone. And I sat there, pulled my handkerchief out, my back pocket, and sat there and cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. And then I wiped my eyes and put my handkerchief back in my pocket and went and did what I was supposed to do. Now, my hero was gone to heaven, but the God that made my hero was still on the throne. And I learned so much from Brother Howell. I learned the importance of walking with God and having an altar and having a prayer time and having a Bible time and being a soul winner. I learned all that. But when he left and God took him like he did Enoch, I didn't quit doing what I was supposed to do. So here's the reason. Because I had an altar, I was not running off of Brother Howells's altar. Does this make any sense? When Dr. Lee Robertson went to heaven, same way. And these is just not names that I read about. These people I knew. Carl Hatch and others. Tom Malone. I had them to preach for me. Dr. Harold Seitler. Brother Wally Beebe. And on and on. Dr. Hugh Pyle and many others. Curtis Hudson, you mentioned a while ago. I had Dr. Hudson preach for me. Jack Hudson, Bobby Robertson, Brother Bobby, was a great personal friend of mine. And all of these men I was close to. But they had their altars. But it was their altars was not good enough for me. I just learned from them that I needed one. And so I got me one. And when God took them, I was still safe. Because I could still find God. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Today, you better walk with God for yourself. You better have a time. You say, well, boy, that's something that God gave the preacher this out of the Bible. That's good. But you better get something out of yours. Because you have access to the same Bible he does. Yes, sir. Read it. Find you a place where you can meet God and pray. Because one of these days, you're going to be graduating from here and be out of here, and you're not going to be able to run off of the staff here. Now, you'll always use stuff you learn. But if you don't learn anything you learn, you better get an altar. You better have a place where you meet God. Because famines are going to come. Hard times will come. Troubles come. Trials come. But I want to ask you a question. Who are you walking with? Are you walking with God, or are you walking with somebody that's walking with God? Now, I'm glad that I had enough sense to get plugged into people who are walking with God. But brother, that's good for a little bit till you figure out, I better do this too. I better get my altar. And so I'm asking you today, who are you walking with? Are you running off somebody else? If you are, listen, when they go home, it'll be your demise. It's where you'll go down. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you if you'd use this old altar today and say, oh, God, help me to not leave the one I've got. If you have one, come thank God that you have an altar. Say, oh, God, keep me in it. When the famines come, and they will come, troubles come, trials come, heartaches come, burdens come, as the piano plays, we have a song. Would you come? Would you come? Have you left that place of prayer? Have you left that soul winning time? Have you left your Bible? You said, but preacher, I'm so busy, if you just knew my schedule. But some way rework something to where you can meet God. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. It's a necessity in your life. You've got to do it. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Job said, acquaint thyself with him. Acquaint thyself with him. Do you know God? Are you meeting God? If not, then ask God to forgive you. And say, today I'm going to find a place to meet God. And I'm going to do different. I'm going to set me up a time that me and God meet. And I pray. It's my prayer time. It's my Bible time. I've got to have God. I wonder if there'd be somebody here that says, Pastor, I don't even know God. I'm not saved. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't even know that. I ain't sure about it. Would you slip your hand up, anybody like that at all? Pastor, I really don't even know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that at all? Slip that hand up if there'd be anybody like that at all. Anybody like that at all? Then our Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll change some lives in here today. And Lord, may somebody see that they not been walking with you. They ain't been praying. They've not been in their Bible. And dear God, they're walking in a danger zone. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help them. Help each and every one of these students, Lord, to get it while they're here, to get the academics and to get the work ethic and to get everything, get the burden for sinners. And God, may they learn how to do things, but may they learn, dear God, that they must have a personal time of prayer and in their Bible. And oh my God, I pray today you'd help every one of us. Help me, Lord. Help me. And God, to thank you for this place. We love it. Love the people here. Love the memories of it. Love it all. God bless our time together this week in Christ's name. Amen.